2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians follows 1 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. We're going to read what sounds like a lot. We're going to read the chapter 4, verse 2. Chapter 3 is pretty quick. But I'm going to read and follow with me. 2 Corinthians 2, 14. But thanks be to God who always, I like to emphasize words, takes a little longer to read it, but get it, who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of Him. For we are to God the aroma of Christ. Did you ever get near a mangy dog? You know, when it stinks, you know, a dog gets near you and you go, what's that? Well, when we are close to God, what do we smell like? We smell like Jesus. We are the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one, we are the smell of death. To the other, the fragrance of life. So you, some days you stink, Jack. Some days you don't. And who is equal to such a task? Unlike so many, we do not peddle the word of God for profit. Well, you pay me a whole lot of money to do this, so yeah, right. Okay, but yeah. On the contrary, in Christ, we speak before God with sincerity like men sent from God, because we are, and women. Chapter 3, are we beginning to commend ourselves again, or do we need, like some people, letters of recommendation to you or from you? No, he says, you yourselves are our letter written on our hearts. Do you ever have to ask anybody for a business letter or a letter of recommendation? Guess who is my letter of recommendation?
Jesus.
You. You are our letter writing on our hearts, known and read by everybody. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Such confidence as this is ours through Christ before God. Not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant. Do you understand that? You are a minister of the new covenant of grace. You.
Well, you know, God didn't call me to do that, as somebody said on Wednesday, which set me off.
There you go. He has made us. For the letter or the law, the Old Testament, kills. Remember we said the law, the Ten Commandments were for? Only to show how guilty you were because you can't keep them. It's impossible. So with that, you are judged worthy of death. But grace, the Spirit of life, gives life. Now, if the ministry that brought death, which was engraved in letters on stone, came with glory, so that the Israelites could not look steadily on the face of Moses because of its glory fading, though it was, will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? If the ministry that condemns men is glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? For what was glorious has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory. And if what was fading away came with glory, how much greater is the glory of that which lasts? Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very, say it with me, bold. You bold?
I am.
I'm bold. I have hope. We're not like Moses, who had put a veil over his face. Pay attention to this. To keep the Israelites from gazing at it while the radiance was fading away. You didn't know that.
When Moses went on top of the mountain, when God gave him the law and he came down, his face was shining. And when he would go in, he would commune with God, and he would come out, his face would shine. And people would see it and they were like, so he put a veil over it. And you would think he put a veil over his shining face so that they wouldn't have to be afraid. No. He was really kind of an arrogant dude in a way. You know why he put the veil on? He didn't want them to see that it was going away. He wanted them to think that behind that curtain was a shiny guy all the time. Yeah. That's not the glory that we carry.
But their minds were made dull, for to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. That's to the Jewish nation. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into His likeness with ever increasing glory. How about that? Transformers, more than meets the eye. Remember that? Commercial with kids? Yeah, you kids remember that. I'm being transformed into His likeness. Therefore, verse chapter 4, since through God's mercy we have this ministry. Does it say I? What's it say?
We.
Yeah, what do you got, a little mouse in your pocket? Yeah, that includes you.
We have this ministry. We do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the truth, or distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God.
It's big words. A lot of information there. We should be out of here by 5. I knew you'd laugh at that. Maybe I wasn't kidding. We'll see. Kids, you can go. Jesus, I made sure I smacked that home, and they still said, yes, I want you to do that. And so yesterday, Katie and I got down there, and there must have been about 350 or more people at this memorial service. And they had 3 speakers scheduled. I've never had a memorial service like this. 3 speakers. Each one spoke an average of 12 minutes. And so by the time we had the singers sing Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, all 6 verses... And then we had a family member surprise us by wanting to stand up, and he spoke for like another 12 to 14 minutes. We'd already been in the church for an hour and 15 minutes. And I really hadn't said anything.
Yeah.
But I told him, if you ask for me, you are going to get Jesus. So I sat and I listened while people talked about, because if you know Venice Animal Clinic, you knew Terry Garner. What a wonderful man.
Amen.
Loving, wonderful man. And everybody talked about the characteristics of Terry, how jovial and happy and helpful and over the top he went with service. Look, you people with animals, stop. These people wanted to talk about their fluffy, their muffy. They didn't want to talk about Terry. They wanted to talk about their pet. One lady stood up and she said, I had 5 pets over the years that I took to Terry. And the first one, and she started to tell everything about the dog. And then she said, and the second one, and I said, no,
no, no, no, no, no.
You get 1 per customer. She would stop. No, no, I have to tell you. No, no, you don't. And she continued to talk. So I said to one of the family members who had the microphone, tear it out of her hand, knock her down if you have to, but she ain't talking anymore. They drug it out of her hands. Look. Animals are great, nice, glad you have them. They ain't people. But numerous people, when they spoke, made the comment. Terry was such a nice guy. He didn't really die. He's in the wind. He's in the sun. He's in the grain. So don't really cry, because I didn't really die. And that he will be returning as a puppy dog. Or a cat. No, not one person. Many.
Ruh-roh.
Now you already know me. I went, I'm in so much trouble. So I got up because it was my turn. And I had to follow the family member. I said, every one of you talked about the characteristics of Terry. Caring, loving, sharing, giving, loyal, constantly there to help, laughing. But your theology sucks, just like that. Well, by this time, we had been sitting there for an hour and 15 minutes, and everybody was going, I had their attention. I said, let me tell you something. Terry was far too special. Far too special to return as a dog. And you know it, and I know it, and we all know it. And I told the story of Lazarus. And how Jesus had deliberately delayed for 4 days in an area about as far from here to the Skyway Bridge before he finally walked back to the den of thieves that wanted to kill him. He came back into town under the threat of death. He went before the crowds. Martha fell before him, blaming him because he wasn't there when he died, or else he wouldn't have. How do you like to take that pressure? Jesus didn't pay attention to the crowd. He didn't pay attention to the reporters. They were all wanting to see what he was going to say and what her reaction. They couldn't wait to write it in the local news. But Jesus looked at Martha and he said, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he who believes in me, though he were dead, shall never die. Do you believe this? I'm going to let that sit for a minute. And then I asked, do you? The most ridiculous, the most stupid, the most absolutely nutty religion invented by man on this earth is Hinduism, from which we get reincarnation. Come on, man. They can't even tell me who's sitting up there figuring whether you come back as a poodle or a cockroach. I don't want to talk about the other religions. They're just stupid. But God became man and came down on earth because my own sin separated me from the perfection that is God. And somebody had to pay for that.
Hallelujah.
And Jesus did. And you see, amen, the crown of thorns. You see this? This is the kind of stuff that they put on him. Not the little briars we got around here. I don't even like picking this up. Every time I seem to pick it up, I get jabbed. I'm just trying not to this time. That's what they jammed on his head with a stick. And he took it, as well as the nails. Not because of you, Jack, because honestly, Jack, I love you, but I don't care about you in the ultimate. I care about me. I mean, I want you to be in heaven, Jack, but before you go, I better make sure that I'm okay, right?
Yeah, right. Without a mask first.
Yeah, without a mask. Oh, that was the other thing. The church made everybody wear a mask. We had to have a mask. It was required. It was on the invitation. Naturally, you knew that I wanted to find out who made it mandatory, and it was the church. I told them a thing or two, but I don't. We are all born knowing in our hearts that we were made for more than this. You know it, and I know it. And I said this. When somebody dies, we hurt deep. Ask me. I've experienced it. Ask Helga. She's experienced it. How many here have experienced what that's like to lose loved one? Don't tell me not to cry. It's just I didn't die. I'm in the sunshine. You're an idiot. Jeez, oh man. And I said, there's going to be days coming ahead for you kids where you're going to not know what to do because you lost your father. And you people are talking about him coming back like a freaking puppy dog. Are you out of your minds? You know this to be true. And are you afraid to say this to people? Are you afraid to say something to them that they might be offended by you? Are you afraid that you might shake them up and they won't like you anymore? You have been given the words of life. And are we doing what he asked us to do? Sweet God, he died for me. And I didn't deserve it. And you're better than me. John MacArthur made a statement this week. John MacArthur, as you know, we support his ministry on the radio in Inglewood. Every morning he preaches a sermon all the way from California, where he has very limited people who support and help him in the fight against the government to keep his church open. But he has stood true just like us. He called me up one day and said, Casey, what should I do now? He really didn't. I had you believing it, though, right?
Oh, yeah.
I get tired of going around people saying, so when did you start going back to church? What? We never closed. What, are you out of your mind? Really? I would rather die. 1,000 deaths, 1,000 different ways, each one more painful than the next, for what he did for me. And now, I don't have to. He's only asked me to do one thing, to go into the world and tell everybody that they don't have to, that they can live, that they can have life. And that's what makes you the fire that's in the world today. And if they don't like you, they're not going to like Jesus. That's okay. Because it isn't up to liking me. It's up to loving him.
Amen.
There's a song that I really, really like. As a matter of fact, I couldn't answer my phone yesterday because it was nonstop. I got, you know, let me whine a little bit. You know, I got to bed real late on Friday night, and then I got up real, real early to prepare for men's breakfast on Saturday. And then from that, went and prepared and went and did a memorial service. And then my grandson's fifth birthday was yesterday, and the whole family, both sides, were all together at Callis' house. I had to get up there. By the time I got home yesterday, I was like, I couldn't even stand. I made coffee, put it on automatic, only to wake up and find out I forgot to put the carafe underneath. Any of you ever do that? Thank goodness that I caught it halfway through and it wasn't really all over the place, but I stopped it and had to start over after I cleaned the pot. But one of the emails or texts that I got and the phone calls and messages yesterday that I got that I didn't answer was from Jason, who told me, "Hey, I like this song by Prince called Seven. Is it biblical?" I'm like, it's real easy. You just type in Google, "Is seven biblical?" That's what I did. I don't have any insight on that. But I read what it said, and I went, no. Nice beat, though.
It's like they tried to steal some of it or something.
Yeah, you know, nobody's ever been able to determine, and it doesn't matter. You know, you throw wacko stuff out like that, people are going to try to go like, well, yeah, man, it's got a deeper meaning. But I was fortunate to be given tickets with my wife by her boss to the Eagles years ago when they were doing their tour, The Long Road of Eden. And so this is when, like, all the Eagles were together. You know, before, what was the guy's name who just died?
Glenn Frey.
Before he passed away, you know. And Joe, what's his name? Joe Walsh, he was there. These guys were all there, and they went around touring the Long Road. I mean, these tickets were really expensive, so it was a blessing and special to go there. And I like this song. It's called The Long Road Out of Eden, and it makes so much sense, and it hits home. Here's some of the words to that song. Having lunch at the Petroleum Club, smoking fine cigars and swapping lies. He said, give me another slice of that barbecued brisket. Give me another piece of that pecan pie. I know some of you say pecan. Freeways flickering, cell phones chiming a tune. We're riding to utopia. Roadmap says we'll be arriving soon. Captains of the old order clinging to the reins, assuring us these aches inside are only growing pains, but it's a long road out of Eden. Back home, I was so certain the path was very clear. But now I have to wonder, what are we doing here? Mankind is under the influence of the satanic lie that this is all just a game. And I don't know if you know your Bible well enough to know that could and would go hand in hand when it comes to God. Because he gave us the ability within the unction of our own heart to know for certain that we were made for something better than this. That he has higher intentions for you than he does a bunny rabbit. One Christian stood up and said, I was standing outside after my grandfather died, and a birdie came and it flew and it landed right beside me. It stayed there and it wasn't afraid at all. It just kind of stayed there and it looked up to me. And it just was so when I talked to somebody about it, they told me that it was my grandfather telling me he was fine. What are we doing here? What is going on? Oh, the good part was when I got back to the birthday party with all of my friends and family. My wife told them what I said, your theology sucks. They were horrified. Did he really say that? Did Dad really say that? My own family. And she looked at them like they were nuts. Yeah, and it was in the right context and it needed to be said. My own family. How could you do such a thing?
In The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, C.S. Lewis wrote the fairy tale for children, but it's very serious because it tries to bring down to the level of what Christianity truly is about what Christ did. And in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, what ends up happening here is that Aslan is the lion in the kingdom. And you don't know this right off the bat, and you don't really see him coming very often until the end of the story. And it is in cartoon format now, so you can watch it. But Aslan is Jesus. And Aslan dies on the altar for the kingdom. But before that, Susan, who is one of the children who finds herself in the Chronicles of Narnia, she says to the beaver, Aslan is a lion? The lion? The great lion? Oh, said Susan, I thought he was a man. But is he safe? I should feel rather nervous about meeting a lion. Safe, said the beaver. Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe. But he's good, and he's the king. Jesus is not safe. He wants to come into your life, and he wants to Molotov cocktail your entire rude, nasty, worthless, junky life. He wants to burn it to the ground, destroy it, and then plant himself in there and grow inside of you to give you true life. You experience that. You know that. You know that. And if you don't know that, you need to know Jesus. People who don't know Jesus and read the Word of God, it doesn't bother them. And it doesn't bother them because they don't know the author. I know him. So when he says, Casey, come and let me show you. I went, and he did. How can I keep silent? How can I keep silent? I'll leave you the story. My son, the harbor pilot in training, and I'm going to be talking a lot about him, not because I'm so proud of him, which I am, but because he brings to the table new experience because I don't know this stuff. So he's telling me. He told me that they haven't started running the cruise ships yet. Because, COVID and all that. But they're going to. And I said, well, you'll be probably looking forward to that. Because when you dock a ship that's that, like, 800 feet long, you know, and you only have a few feet in between, nobody applauds you for doing a good job. But I said, I've been on cruise ships. And when a pilot comes out and they go back, everybody applauds, you know, and they wave. He goes, the pilots don't like the guys who are captaining and running the cruise ships, really. Because they're kind of arrogant. I said, ooh. Well, then I guess when they're coming in, you could say, you could take this. Go ahead. Park it yourself. He goes, yeah. And when they start screaming, take it, take it, take it, take it. Because the captain is in charge and responsible for the ship. Even if the pilot gives him advice, he doesn't have to listen. And so if it wrecks, it's the captain's job problem. And so, you know, he said, yeah, it would be kind of cool to stand there and say, you want me to take it now? Turn on the microphone, the intercom to everybody, and ask me, please take this. And say, please. Sound arrogant? Sure. But he knows. Jesus wants you to ask him into your life. And he's waiting. And he's not going to force himself. And he expects you to say, please, thank you. I've tried it every way, and I thank him and praise him that he has redeemed me from a crappy life. And now he puts me in front of people who end up hating me because I tell them that. It's okay, I don't mind. He died on the cross for me. Is Jesus your Lord and Savior? Have you asked him into your life? Do you love him? Do you say, look, Lord, come on, man. I made the statement, who was it to? Raise your hand. That spirit, oh, it was Brian. I said,
It said physical stuff doesn't help you see spiritual stuff. Because all the miracles that Jesus did not really have anybody make them believe. The people who saw him do them ended up crucifying him. It is only the call inside your spirit. And you know it's there. He's knocking. He's knocking. You have to answer by faith. Lord, I realize I'm a sinner. I realize that I don't deserve to stand before the presence of a holy, perfect God. Father God, I realize that I deserve death, but that your son died for me. And I want you to come and make that real in my life. Let him come into my life, make me born again, kill the old me, and make me new. Live inside of me, Jesus, and give me that feeling that really matters. And help me be a fireball for you. In Jesus' name. Man, we got going. I thought I was going to get done soon. Let's just kill the last song. You love it? Well, don't go saying, yeah. Don't tell me. Tell your neighbor. Tell the people who are going to hell around you. Go tell those people. There you go. Brian, is it kind of, are you waking up a little bit? Is it kind of going, I get it now? It's real simple. Without Jesus,
with Jesus.
Without Jesus, with Jesus. Go be light, be brave, take no prisoners, do not hold back. Go into the world and proclaim the gospel. You. Vic, pray us out of here.
Father God, there are people that just don't like Jesus. They like themselves too much. And like Moses with his veil, they don't want to show the world that their glory fades. But we love Jesus, and our glory never fades because it is the glory of Christ, and we will take this glory into the world like fire. We are your warriors, Father God, and our weapon is the truth with which we will defeat the lies and the unbeliefs. And Satan himself, through the power of Jesus Christ, who died for us, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Go get him, folks. See you tomorrow at 5.